Welcome to Stateside. I'm April Baer. Today on the program, we welcome Detroit Regional Chamber President Sandy Barua and Dustin Walsh of Crane's Detroit Business to talk about the year that was and what a year it was.
I would call it a perforated ulcer. And I call it a perforated ulcer because, you know, it's painful and the things are getting left behind and are not making it through that digestive tract of the economy.
That's coming up later in the hour. But first, 2020 began with such high hopes for the U.S. economy and Michigan's piece of it. Then came the pandemic. While Wall Street's hopes remain high, where do we as Michiganders fit into the American economic picture? Can we expect a slow rebound in 2021, or is this just the edge of a much deeper precipice? To get a better understanding of where we are and where things are headed, let's turn to Michigan State economics professor and Stateside regular Charlie Ballard. Charlie, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you, April. Glad to be with you.
If you had to pick a metaphor to describe the year in economic terms, and let me stress this, a metaphor that's appropriate for a family public radio station, what would you say?
Okay, it's been a wild, wild ride. It's kind of like we were out in a little canoe in the middle of the ocean, and we got wet, and it's been very unpleasant. It's slowly getting better. We're getting closer to shore, but how's that for a metaphor? Does that work for you?
A canoe in the ocean, yes. Or maybe Lake Superior, I guess, right?
Well, yeah, Lake Superior in November.
It's been brutal, quite frankly. Can you talk to us about what sectors you see being hardest hit this year?
Oh, no question. Leisure and hospitality is the sector that was absolutely slammed. Restaurants, bars, hotels, anything to do with travel and tourism, airline industry. If you work at Detroit Metro, you see a lot less traffic. So all of those things, those are the ones that have been by far the hardest hit. And then retail, ordinary brick and mortar retail, a lot of those stores have greatly struggled. Some have gone out of business. On the other hand, if you're involved in delivery, internet sales that get delivered by UPS or FedEx, all of that has done very well. And another sector that's done extremely well is anything to do with the home. Because people have been staying home, they've been planting a lot of shrubs, they've been doing home improvement projects. So some sectors have done well. Overall, this has been a really bad year.
You know, I know you were just stating a fact, but I think I'm just going to use what you said a moment ago as a metaphor. 2020 was the year when leisure and hospitality just took a dive. It's a statement of mood this year as much as anything else.
Yes.
So let's talk about some of the policy responses to what's been happening. We have seen Michigan's leaders largely waiting to see what the federal government might offer in terms of a second stimulus package. And that's dominated the news in recent weeks, in addition to being a topic for the year. Are there things that government might do right now that might set 2021 up for slightly better times?
Well, the state governments and local governments are severely constrained by the laws that govern how much they can borrow and the drop in revenue associated with the economic recession. So I really look to the federal government. And frankly, the federal government in March and April did a darn good job. Federal Reserve injected a great deal of liquidity into the financial markets to keep them more or less stable. And we had a very large stimulus package. It wasn't perfect, but it sure did help. Now we are in serious need, pretty serious need of a new stimulus. And unfortunately, at least as of right now, when we're talking to each other, the two sides haven't been able to come together. I'm very hopeful that they will. By the time this is broadcast, maybe they will have. The last few months have been disappointing in terms of the House and Senate being unable to put aside their differences and concentrate on the places where they do, in fact, agree. There's general agreement about most of the things that might go into a stimulus. There's only a few things that they disagree about, but that's been enough to stop the negotiations, at least up till now.
Charlie, what did we learn about Michigan's workforce in 2020?
I think we learned that Michigan's workforce, we are hardworking people. We are resilient. We've taken these punches and we're still standing. But one thing that we've known for years and years is that in terms of educational attainment, Michigan's workforce is below the national average. That's been true for decades. And 50 years ago, it didn't really matter so much because you could just get out of high school and go to the Ford or the GM factory and make really good money. That's changed. And so we have slipped somewhat relative to the national average in a variety of measures. In 2018 and 2019, we were 32nd among the 50 states in terms of per capita income. 2020 is so weird, the rankings might get jumbled some, but by the time the dust settles in 22, I think we'll be pretty close to that same place because of these long-term structural features of our economy that we haven't been able to take as much advantage as some other places of the high-tech, high-skill sectors that have done so well in the recent decades.
Charlie, the U.S. is a country that historically has not really spent much time grappling with the issues of how workers get to where they work, what workers are doing with their families in their downtime, you know, what kind of family structures they have at home that might or might not support them in the workplace. The U.S. is just the kind of country that keeps its hands off of that sort of thing. Do you think that 2020 and the pandemic and the ensuing healthcare crisis and childcare crisis and every other crisis that's piled up, do you think that what we've seen happen this year might be a recipe for some kind of change?
Well, I think there are a lot of people who have had their eyes opened to issues that perhaps they previously had not been very much aware of or didn't pay much attention to. Another one that I might mention is, I think, the death of George Floyd last May in horrific circumstances opened the eyes of some white Americans to the fact that, yes, there is a systemic problem. So I think that perhaps this could be a watershed moment. I certainly hope it is. I hope that it will push us in the direction of addressing some of these childcare issues, some of the public health issues that have, I think, too long been on the back burner. But gosh, will it get translated into concrete action? That remains to be seen. I think 2021 is going to be a very, very interesting year to see how a new Congress and a new president deal with some of these issues.
Donald Trump's time in the White House is coming to an end. And many of the voters who support Donald Trump say that his grasp of America's business issues is a big part of his appeal for them. Could you assess the Trump presidency as an economist and Trump's performance in what he said he was going to do in terms of what it meant for Michigan?
Yeah, I wouldn't give him very high marks, frankly. I guess in terms of economic policy, there are two main things that he did or tried to do. One was in terms of international trade. He started a variety of trade wars. We did get a renegotiation of NAFTA. That was a step in the right direction. But the tit-for-tat tariffs against China, I frankly think that that was the wrong approach. I would have gone with a much more multilateral approach because the Europeans and the Japanese and the Canadians, they all have issues with China's trade policies. But what President Trump did was he emphasized America first, which meant America going it alone without our allies. And I think that was a strategic mistake. Frankly, I don't think that the trade war has been a success. The other thing that he did or that was passed in 2017 was the tax cut. It was primarily a cut for taxes for corporations, which means that in terms of who benefited from it, probably most of the benefits went to very high income individuals, especially those with large stock market portfolios. And whether you like that or not like that depends probably upon what you think about income inequality. And my values are such that I think we have, in the United States, we know we have the most unequal. Of all of the affluent countries in the world, we are the most unequal in our income distribution. And so undertaking policies like the tax cut 3 years ago, which would exacerbate income inequality, I don't think that was a great move.
Charlie, could we talk a little bit more about the isolationist trade policies of the past 4 years? Why is it that you would argue that they put Michigan at a disadvantage? What is it about our core industries that makes us need other players that are our economic allies?
Well, let's look at the tariffs on steel and aluminum. Almost all of the workers in America who are involved with steel or aluminum, it's not people who are making steel and aluminum, it's people who are using steel and aluminum in making something else. Thus, those tariffs were not a good thing for the auto industry, and the auto industry is still very big. Even after all the shrinkage of the last 50 years, autos are still a big deal in Michigan. And so something that increased the costs of making a car, I don't see that as a wise policy from our perspective. But in terms of the broader question of should we go it alone or should we have our allies? Well, anytime we've got friends, we should work together with our friends. And our friends are many of the countries in Western Europe. President Trump tended not to be very nice to our friends and tended to be quite nice to our enemies like Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un. So I think you're going to see a reversal of that. I think you're going to see in the Biden administration much more of a change toward working multilaterally. And in my view, that's a step in the right direction. I think that if we were to join with the Europeans, the Japanese, the Australians, Canada, we could put pressure on China in ways that we can't when we go it alone.
Charlie Ballard is a professor of economics at Michigan State University and a semi-regular here on Stateside. Charlie, thanks for the insight, and hang in there. We're almost to the end of the year.
You're welcome, April. Happy holidays, and let's have a good 2021.